So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Welcome to the Business Growth Show. We are live this Friday morning. It's the 21st of January. Hope you're well today. And so we're going to talk about inflation today. I've got a lot to talk about. We'll get straight into it, basically. Anyway, hope you're well. Welcome. Thank you for joining us once more. Again, we appreciate every single viewer, every download of the podcast, every YouTube subscriber. Thank you so much for joining us. So let's talk about inflation. Specifically, we're going to talk about why there's more inflation to come and what to do about it. Now, how on earth do we know there's more inflation to come? We'll talk about that. It's fairly self-explanatory as we go through today's session. But first off, I just want to cover a couple of things about inflation. So first of all, this is the bit that people kind of don't understand about inflation, is that actually some people really like inflation, okay? And so this is the bit that the mainstream media doesn't pick up. Some people want inflation. Inflation is a good thing as long as you've got this particular thing in place. And this particular thing that you need to have in place is assets. So if you've got assets in place, let's say you've got a property, and let's just say inflation's running at 10% just because it's easier maths. In 10 years' time, that 100 grand for a property, inflation's 10%. And forget about compound interest, compound interest and that kind of thing. Forget about all that. Let's just pretend inflation's 10%. Well, in year one, the house in real terms is worth 90 grand. In year two, it's worth 80. In year three, it's worth 70, 60. So it's going all the way down to zero in real terms. Obviously, a Mars bar that might cost you a pound, that's going to be 10 pounds in 10 years if inflation's running at 10%. And so if you've got assets, if you've got stuff, then inflation actually works in your favour. So investors love inflation. Now, it can be gold, it can be Bitcoin, it can be works of art, it can be NFTs, it can be property, which is obviously what we're in quite heavily. It can be all of those things, but also it can be, you know, businesses, the valuation of your business. That, you know, if you've got a business worth £1 million today and inflation's running at 10%, then it's going to be worth a lot more in the future. But then everything else is worth a lot more in the future as well. So it kind of cancels each other out, if you like. But I always remember a conversation in property, which was around, you know, this house price has gone up. Imagine if you had 10 of them or 20 of them all going up in value. And that conversation stuck with me for quite some time. Now, this is not about property. This is about assets. But actually, the more assets that you've got and the more that we have inflation, then the more those assets are going to increase in value. But this is the other thing. Inflation is hated by people who exchange their time for money. So in other words, people go out, you know, and have a job. If you go out and have a job, you come home and prices have gone up and your income hasn't gone up, you're kind of screwed. You're kind of losing money in real terms. You know, the nurses that have been getting a 1% pay rise for the last 10 years are really losing money in real terms. And there's not a lot you can do about it. If you're a nurse, what can you do? You're a nurse like all the other nurses. I know there's different levels. And so you have to work harder, maybe more hours, maybe upskill, get educated, and increase your potential to earn more money. But even if you earn more money, what are you going to earn? An extra couple of percentage points? Whoopie-doo. Still, inflation is going to cancel that out because it's running so high. And we haven't even got to the worst of inflation yet. I don't even think we're at the worst of inflation yet, by the way. What else? Okay, it's always here. It always has been. And inflation always will be. It's actually built into the money system. And what I mean by that is that every time the Bank of England or any country around the world prints money, they're flushing more money into the marketplace. And inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. So obviously we've had a contraction in the amount of goods that have been produced because of coronavirus. Things have shut down. The amount of manufacturers definitely dropped. Like a friend of mine's buying a car right now. He's put his order in. He can't get a goddamn car because none of the chips are available. And obviously coronavirus has really slowed everything else down. So the definition of inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. So too much money, like in the US, and I don't know about the UK, but I'm guessing it's more or less the same. But in the US, you've got the Fed printing so much money. They printed more money in the last 18 months than any other point that America has actually existed put together. Just to put into comparison relative to previous times, so you can see how much money's being printed. That's why we've got a huge amount of inflation. So it's always been here, always has been, it always will be, because governments print money. I know people go, oh, the government's not printing money, it's the Bank of England. Yeah, I get that. It's still the same goddamn thing. So if the government of the Bank of England is going to print more money, then you're going to have higher inflation. It's just the way it goes. Too much money chasing too few goods. You can't change that. That's the very definition of what inflation is. And here we are. We've printed far too much money to get us through. Rishi Sunak has printed money to pay people furlough and the dodgy bounce back loans, which we just wrote off $4.3 billion. The test and trace. Do you remember Theresa May saying, "Oh, there's no more money. We don't have a magic money tree." Oh well. Boris has found $37 billion to pass off to his mates to track and trace, because there's more money. We call it printing money. And whenever a government gets into financial difficulty, they just print money. And by the way, I'm talking about some people hate it and some people love it. Guess who loves inflation? The government. The government absolutely loves inflation. Can't get enough of it. They see inflation, they smear it all over the body. They love inflation. And the reason why they love inflation is that the easiest way to get rid of £1 trillion of government debt is to make the £1 trillion not worth £1 trillion. It's not to pay off £1 trillion. Who cares about paying stuff off? It's about increasing inflation. So £1 trillion at 10% a year inflation is only worth £900 million in real terms. I mean, it's still called £1 trillion, but in real terms, it's not worth that amount. And so the government don't mind inflation. Now, generally, they want lower inflation. They want to keep interest rates as low. They want relatively high employment. But the government does not want full employment, because when you have full employment, you're really struggling to fill any jobs. And we're going to talk about jobs a little bit later. But if you've got full employment, and I'm in the UK, let's say, and everybody's employed, but I need a new graphic designer, what can I do? There's a guy there earning 20. What am I going to do? Say it's a better place to work? Like, workers are not interested in that. Workers want 22 grand, not 20 grand. There's a 10% increase in his salary. And if everybody gets a 10% increase, then here we are again with yet more inflation. So if you've got the government not really understanding inflation, which they never seem to do, it was so obvious that printing money was going to shove up inflation. Like, you know, we could see this coming. It's called quantitative easing. Quantitative easing leads to inflation. And then the other thing I wanted to say as well is that you've got to use inflation properly. And the way that you use it is through asset acquisition, buying houses, buying stamps, buying gold, buying Tesla, buying Bitcoin, buying whatever it happens to be. But you've got to start buying assets. And for me, as we say quite often in these podcasts, buying assets for me is about assets that generate cash flow. That's a true asset. Gold is not an asset for me. I can't do anything with it. I can't add value to it. I can't eat it. I can't cash flow it. I can't do anything off it. It's one of the reasons why we never bought gold. Sure, it goes up. What are you going to do when it, you know, goes hundredfold? You got to sell it at some point. We don't like selling. We're cash flow investors. Anyway, asset acquisition is where you should be, excuse me, with inflation. And then the other thing is, we're going to talk about interest rates being scary in a second. So interest rates is a scary aspect around inflation, because in order to control inflation, we put up interest rates. Now, if you've got a leveraged asset like a property, you know, you bought it for 100 grand, you've got an £80,000 mortgage on it, and that interest rate rises, you're going to lose some of your monthly cash flow. So it's just something to be aware of. If you're carrying debt right now that's variable based on interest rates, then you need to start paying that down. Like, we've had historically low interest rates for God knows how long, years and years and years, and people are thinking that this is normal, and it's far from normal. These interest rates that we've got now, far from normal. And when these interest rates are going up, you're going to see a lot of property investors going to the wall, because they've not actually worked it through into their figures because they're carrying too much debt. But the other thing I wanted to say on that is, if you're carrying debt, credit card debt, that's the stuff you've got to pay off, because you're paying 20% a year on credit card debt, which is beyond ridiculous. Okay, so let's talk about why the mainstream media doesn't understand inflation. And this goes back to, I was watching the TV. It was the last time we had this stuff going on about inflation, 2004 or 8 or 9, whatever it happened to be, 2009, I think, last crash. or last, you know, constriction, shall we say. So I was watching the TV and the BBC were on, and the BBC were talking about how inflation's dropped, okay? And so inflation's dropped. So they're going around the supermarket the same day. Obviously, there's if prices have dropped, and that's not what they were asking, by the way, so this is the bit I want to clarify in a minute. But if prices have dropped, obviously, they don't drop the same day inflation figures come out, right? But this is where the BBC, who you pay all that ridiculous money to, don't understand the basics around inflation. So they were going around the supermarket and asking little old ladies and men, they're asking them, inflation's dropped from 3% to 1.5%. Have you noticed prices going down? Oh, not really, lovey. Oh, no, I've just seen prices going up and up and up. Of course you have. It's inflation. Inflation dropping from 3% down to 1.5% doesn't mean prices have dropped. It just means the rate of inflation has slowed down. This is a BBC. It's what I hate paying for. I pay a couple of licence fees because we've got HMO properties. I hate paying a licence fee because these stupid people can't even get the goddamn questions right. It's like, this is not rocket science to understand. It's really simple stuff. It's just inflation. Inflation going down from 3% to 1.5%. If a thing was worth £100, okay, and it's got 3% inflation, it's now £103. If it was only 1.5% inflation, it's still gone up from £100 to £101.50. Why can the BBC not actually understand that? And for me, I remember watching this and I'm like, goodness me, it's so obvious what's going on here. And yet they couldn't see it because the thing that they wanted to put across about inflation and about, you know, the BBC is like every other media company. It's about selling clicks. It's about selling views. It's not about selling advertising for the BBC because they don't have to. They can be as lazy as they like, but it's about selling drama and all this stuff. And it's just ridiculous. It's just, you know, mainstream media does not understand it. And I say this time and time again. People read the Financial Times and they listen to the journalists at the Motley Fool and they think, oh, these guys know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew what they were doing, why have they got a job? Surely if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't need to rely on somebody else. They'd have assets that pays them their salary. But no, they have to have a job because they're not good enough. They don't know what they're doing. They come out and explain blooming inflation absolutely incorrectly. And if you can't tell, it winds me up. Because we've got relatively, you know, professional and educated people, and they can't seem to understand the sheer basics of the mechanism of what's actually at work here. And if they don't understand it, and they're trained as financial people or journalism or whatever it happens to be, if they don't understand it, what hope has the normal person out in the street got? Most people out in the street are so financially illiterate, they literally have no idea about any of this. They don't know the definition of inflation off by heart. Too much money chasing too few goods. I got all my stuff, believe it or not, from GCSE Economics, Mr. Green at Temple Moor High. A Scottish guy. If you want anyone to teach you about economics, you should be a Scottish guy or a Scottish person. I've got some money on my desk today. Every lesson would come out and go, you see this? And he'd throw it on the desk and go, that pound's not worth a pound. That pound's worth 99 pence today. And every lesson for like the whole year, that's what he would do. It was wonderful. But that's where we got our basics of understanding finances from, about too much money chasing too few goods, about inflation. And I didn't know when I was 14, but here I am, 35 years later, explaining this to other people. But you need to have a really good grasp of financial literacy in order to understand exactly what's going on. Okay, let's talk about unofficial inflation figures versus official inflation figures. So, you know, the ONS. Let's talk about the ONS first of all. Let's talk about the ONS when it comes to rental increases. Last year, the ONS said that rents had only increased like 1.2% or 1.5%. I can't remember what the figure was. They were so off the mark. I mean, my rents last year had gone up across the board. And this year, needless to say, the ONS, I think it is, have come out and said that rents have increased 9%. Like, I don't even think that's accurate. I mean, we had a property that was rented at 895. We were getting, what, 1,300 for. Like, that's a 50% increase, almost a 50%, 40% increase. That's a ridiculous increase from last year. Now, it depends on the property, and it depends what it was rented out at before and the state of the market back then. And back then, when we rented it at 895, the market was really slow. We were in the middle of lockdown. Nobody wanted to be in a city centre flat, so people were moving to the outskirts. So there is that. But even normally, we'd get 1,100 for that flat. And so renting at 1,350 is what, a 22% increase? So still a decent increase on that. But the ONS are bald-faced liars. Who does the ONS work for, do you think? Do you think the ONS maybe works for the government? Now, am I a little bit suspicious about everything? Damn right. Hell yeah. I am suspicious about pretty much everything. I don't believe anyone. I don't trust anything. Where's the source of your information? When we see stuff about Corona and they're saying, people have launched a legal thing against the police for, like, oh, have you? Let's see that. What's the link? Let's have a look at the court case. What's the court case number? It's like bullshit. You're just making stuff up. So I have trust issues, right? So I don't trust anybody. I don't trust the ONS. I definitely don't trust the government. I don't trust the police. I don't trust anybody. And I think that's fairly healthy, by the way, in 2022, because I want to see what's actually going on. And when I see the official figures versus what I see a different story. Now, I don't base my future based on figures from the ONS or numbers from the government or someone on the TV or from the Financial Times or the BBC telling me what to do. I like to go out and see what's really going on. Now, obviously, I live in Spain, but even here in Spain, you can see the effects of inflation. We buy a rice and it's £2. Microwavable rice, it's £2. It's now £2.20. It's not £2, €2. It's now £2.25. That's a 12.5% increase. Sorry, inflation's what? 5%? 6%? Are you sure about that? Pretty sure it's not. And the other thing I wanted to say as well about inflation is that the guy driving a BMW that cost him £600, pasta going up from £1 to £1.20, that doesn't affect him. The inflation affects the people disproportionately at the lower end of the market. Inflation really doesn't affect me. In fact, I quite like inflation because it's another excuse to put rents up. And if we've got... I'm not going to tell you how many properties we've got these days, but if we've got a number of properties and they're all going up, they're all going up. So our cash flow increases on a monthly basis every month, virtually, because this month it's these set of properties, the next month it's the next set of properties, the next month it's the next set of properties as people move in and out of these properties. And so you see these property prices going up. And that has a disproportionate effect on the official figures as well. Because you've got landlords, for example, and I'm just using landlording because I'm a landlord, but you've got landlords not putting prices up just yet. Because they, you know, as a landlord, I generally don't put rent prices up. Generally. I mean, I have done recently. We just sent loads of letters out and we just negotiated with all the tenants and so on to let them know. But generally, it's not something that we do. And so some of this inflation actually hasn't hit the marketplace yet. And it won't hit the marketplace until tenants move out and the new tenants come in with a much higher rental amount. And so, you know, that's just one example of where it is. But sometimes, you know, I don't know, maybe Mars bars, maybe the people who run Mars are going, let's not put those prices up just yet. Let's do it next year. Let's just wait and just see what happens. And then we'll put it up next year. And then we'll do it next year. So some of this inflation hasn't actually hit the marketplace yet. And this is why there's more inflation to come. This is one of the reasons. The job market one is the main reason, which we're going to go into in a minute. But some people are holding off and putting prices up right now. Like in our digital marketing agency, we've not put prices up. Not with regard to inflation. We've added services, which is completely different. And we have changed some of our prices around actually to make it more affordable to keep people on board longer, to increase retention numbers. That's completely nothing to do with inflation. But other businesses are going to hold off from putting up their prices until they've got no choice. And then instead of putting it up from £200 for whatever the thing is, they're going to put it up to £250 or £295, which is a 25% to a 50% increase. And so inflation doesn't hit all in one go and all prices just slide up by 5% or 6% or 7%. Things happen at different points. And so something you might get, something going up in a year or two, it hasn't actually hit yet. So we've got at least another year or two of inflation because various people will put various things up at various times. Okay. So that's the difference between the official figures and the unofficial figures. And let's talk about transitory inflation and why I think it's a myth anyway. So it was more the US government. They came out, but the UK government basically follows suit, don't we? Because we're the stupid brother who follows America around, basically. That's trying to look hard. That's basically how it works. So the Americans came out and said, oh, it's transitory, this inflation. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, what does transitory mean? Because I'm like, what do you mean by transitory? Transitory for me is, let's talk about use it a weight. So I'm transitorily fatter than I was last year. I put weight on. That's transitory. Do you know why it's transitory? Because if I'm, what am I? I'm 79 kilos. If I was 77 kilos, I know what to do to get back down to 77 kilos and even 75 kilos. I've been there. I know how to do it, right? That's transitory. Something's coming along. You have a blip. It goes back to normal and it keeps going along. That's what transitory means. Inflation is going like this and then it's going up and then it's going up. And then it's going up. It's going. That's not transitory. How is that transitory? That's prices going up. Look at all my voice is getting high pitched because I'm getting all excited by it. Transitory means it's going to come back down. And in order for inflation to be transitory, you have to have a period of deflation that's happening afterwards. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you saw anything come down in price? Over a period of time. Over 10 years, over 20 years, over 30 years. Computers, maybe? Real terms, but we're not talking real terms because inflation kind of ruins real terms, doesn't it? Prices are constantly going up. That £500 computer back in 1980 would be £2,000 now, or probably 1,500 quid now. Prices are going up constantly. Prices are going up. Inflation is not transitory, because if inflation was transitory, you'd need a point in the future where prices were deflationary. Very, very rare for that to happen. It happened in Japan, I think, and Japan's a very unique system where they've got so many people and live on such a small island. The whole thing is completely different than the UK. They had negative interest rates and that kind of thing. But they had a period of time in Japan where that happened. But other than that, and I think that's what happened in Japan. I don't really follow Japan overly. But other than that, it's just not really happened. Like, you go back 30 years, everything's gone up in price. Cups, Coca-Cola, microphones, cameras, computers, monitors, haircuts, jumpers, chairs, lighting, housing, right? It just keeps going up and up and up. So inflation's not transitory. So when people go, oh, it's transitory, it's like, no. Things are not coming back down to normal. And then that then leads into the next problem, which is the jobs market. So let me explain how the jobs market works. For example, in the UK right now, I think there's something like 1 million vacancies. Is that right? I think there's 100,000 vacancies in the NHS. So let's use the NHS as a really good example. Let's just assume for now 50,000 of those are nurses. Okay, out of 100,000 people, vacancies that are available in the NHS, let's just assume that 50,000 of those are nurses. Now, if those jobs or those vacancies are not being filled, how does the government get those jobs filled? There's only really one way. They might add bursaries and some extra stuff like that. But really, there's only one way of doing it, and that's to increase the amount of money that nurses get paid, because then they're attracted to come into that marketplace, into that vacancy, into that industry. If I'm running, and we touched on this briefly in the podcast, if I'm running a digital marketing agency and there's 100,000 jobs available for a digital marketer, the only way that I can get a digital marketer, if there's all these other 100,000 jobs, all these other vacancies, all looking for a digital marketer, the only way I can get a new digital marketer is to pay 5%, 10%, 15% more than everybody else, right? There's too many vacancies chasing too few people wanting to take up those vacancies. It's very much like the inflation strapline. Too much money chasing too few goods. Too many vacancies chasing too few people, right? So what happens is that the job market, it has to increase its prices in order to go out and get the talent. Now it's got the talent on board. Now it's got to pay the bill, right? And the only way for it to pay the bill is a couple of things, obviously. Sell more stuff or put prices up. And guess what happens? Prices have to go up. Because that's how they get growth. That's how they cover the job of the guy that was just taken on board in order to maintain those profits. They have to put prices up. And so the jobs market right now, we've got 1 million vacancies. Like, inflation, it hasn't even hit yet. Like, I know we've got 5%, 6%, 7% and 9% on rents, but inflation hasn't actually hit yet. We're in for an inflationary couple of years. Forget about coronavirus. If coronavirus ended right now and everything went back to normal, you're still going to have this ridiculous situation of a jobs market, too many jobs chasing too few people. The only way to solve it is offer more increase in the salary. That's the only way to do it. And because you're going to do that, you're actually going to then ramp up the inflation figures. And then when you, so I put some notes here. More vacancies mean higher wages to fill them, right? Higher wages mean higher cost of goods to maintain profit. Higher cost of goods to maintain profit means higher inflation. You've got this vicious circle. And when people are talking about in America, a $15 minimum wage, it doesn't increase the price of burgers. Of course it does. It might not do it instantly. It might not do it instantly. And if only one business is putting minimum wage to $15 and everybody else is, say, $10, I don't know what the minimum wage is in America, but let's say that one company's got 15 and everyone else is 10, then, yeah, you're going to fill vacancies for that one company and they might have a different way of keeping costs lower. But if everybody did it, the whole thing, what's the saying? A rising tide raises all ships. Old Mother Hubbard, I don't know who came up with that. But a rising tide raises all ships. If everybody does it, and this is the problem that we've got. So I think we've actually got inflation coming in now for the next couple of years, 3 or 4 years minimum. And one of the downsides to higher inflation, something that we talked about very early on, right at the very start, is that interest rates are going to have to rise in order to eradicate that. I was having lunch, breakfast at the Ivy in Leeds, which is really nice, by the way. If you've never been, you should really go in. It's just a lovely experience. I know it's an expensive breakfast, like 35 quid for two of us, but I don't really think that's overly expensive. If you're on holiday, you'd spend that. And I was on holiday, so whatever. when we go back to Leeds, that's our holiday. Anyway, we were talking about this and he was like, you know, you're the only guy that really talks about paying down debt, mortgage debt. Nobody else, they're all on about buying more stuff. And I'm actually on about buying more stuff and paying down debt. 30% goes towards debt repayment of mortgages and 50% goes into buying new property. And the other 10% is crypto and the other 10% is ISA. That's our allocation of money as to where we're moving money around. But I was the only person he was saying that is talking about paying down debt. But I can see what's coming. You know, we're very good at calling what's coming. And the key for us, because obviously we're highly leveraged with a lot of property, the key for us is really to drop the prices down. Drop the level of debt down. And obviously, if there's a large amount of debt in there, there's millions of pounds worth of mortgage debt, which, doesn't keep me awake at night. I'm quite happy about that. But we are carrying a little bit more than I would like, so we need to pay that down. Because if you don't pay it down and interest rates go to 10%, everybody's wiped out. And you don't want to be the guy that's wiped out. You want to stay in this game for as long as you can. Because when everybody else is wiped out, guess what happens? House prices plummet. Then we go and we've got the cash available then to go and buy more properties on the cheap, and then prices go back up again. It's just the cycle of things, and it's about understanding the cycle. In fact, this is what this whole conversation is about, really, is about understanding the cycles. Where are we with all of this? What's going on? What's happening? And so understanding the cycles is absolutely paramount. Anyway, look, I hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on the next one. My name's Dan Latto. Have yourselves a wicked day. We'll speak to you soon. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.